Leading Britain's conversation. LBC with Sheila Fogarty.
Let me just give you a bit more detail on two aspects really of what we're talking about. What the Office for National Statistics has said about an increase in violent and sexual crimes in England and Wales. They say that knife crime and robbery increased in the 12 months to September 2017, so just a few months ago. Over 5 million crimes recorded in all in that 12-month period, which the ONS says was up 14%. It's worth pointing out that in a separate survey, the crime survey, which is based on people's experiences, it suggests that crime continues to fall. But that survey includes crimes that people don't report to the police, hence the disparity between the two, or some explanation about the disparity between the two. Now, this all comes... It comes after the collapse of at least three rape trials that all have been heavily reported. But it comes as Simon Bailey, who leads the National Police Chiefs Council on Child Protection, told the inquiry into child sexual abuse that he thinks the way we approach many paedophiles, who are indeed a risk to children, but he described them as low-risk paedophiles, that our approach to them is all wrong, that it should involve treatment more than prison. He says what he is seeing and continues to see is the police service and the Crown Prosecution Service struggling with the volume of abuse right across both adult and child abuse, he said. Again, that echoes those crime stats I've just read out to you. He says he's concerned that victims are being let down because of the kind of scattergun approach. And he sees a court system, he says, struggling to cope with the volume of work within their rape and serious sexual offences team. So is he right, specifically about paedophiles, but perhaps even more broadly than that, is he right to say that our approach needs looking at again, that actually treatment should be more of an option than prison? 0345 6060 973, the number to call. You can text 84850 or tweet at LBC. Juliet Grayson joins me, chair of Stop. So, Juliet, this is something that you campaign about anyway, isn't it?
Absolutely. We work with anyone who feels at risk of committing a sexual offence anywhere across the UK. We'll offer them therapy to help them not to act out.
How difficult is it to even access people with these proclivities before they offend?
Well, programmes like this help because people then hear that we exist and people are coming to us asking for help. So last year, 1,200 people asked us for help. So, and the more the public get to know that Stop So exists, the more likely people are to come forward. And they're wanting help. They pay, most of them pay for their own therapy. Obviously, there are about 20% who can't afford to pay for their own therapy, and that's a big issue and a big problem, and really one of the things that we need to be thinking about is how can we fund that, because it's ridiculous that someone comes forward and says, I want help not to commit a sexual offence, and there isn't any money available at the moment to be able to subsidise them.
And have these people offended?
There are people who have offended and want to stop and not commit a second offence, and about 38% of the people coming to us haven't yet committed an offence.
And what do you do if they have offended but haven't been caught?
It depends on whether it's recent or historic. So if it's a recent offence and there's a child involved, then obviously one has to report that. But if it's something like looking at child abuse images and they haven't looked at them for a long time and they've never created images with an actual child and they haven't ever shared any images with anybody else, then sometimes it's better to work with that person to stop them from acting out again. Because the thing about someone being convicted for child abuse images, and they mentioned this in that Times article, nearly three quarters of the convictions for that end up in conditional discharges or suspended sentences or community service or perhaps a short sentence. But if they are in prison for less than a year, they get no treatment at all. So really, we need to think, you know, if you're an alcoholic and you need to give up alcohol and you get no treatment, it's unlikely you're going to give up alcohol. And we need to think, what's the way that we can protect society the most effectively? And giving them therapeutic support to stop is working. That seems to be effective.
So, but alcoholics aren't... committing crimes, are they, by drinking?
They're not committing crimes by drinking, but I'm just using the analogy of how hard it is to give up something without help. So if you're expecting someone just to have been arrested and then to stop, but they're given a community service or they're given a conditional discharge, it's very hard to stop these addictive habits that people have all on your own.
Are they addictive or are they... I can understand how internet stuff can become addictive because we know that there's more to that sort of repetitive viewing of anything on the internet can be addictive. But isn't the reality of paedophilia that it is inherent to the person's sexual leanings?
Well, the problem with this topic is that there, you know, it's huge and there are so many different things to talk about. So in that, I was talking about the internet offenders there. Mm. And you're right, that some paedophiles are predisposed and born that way. And that's what they're, you know, they have to live with that.
It's what their sexuality is.
That's their sexuality. Like, I'm heterosexual, someone might be homosexual and someone's attracted to children. But there are also a lot of people in society who are, if you like, it's a continuum from someone who's attracted to adults through to someone who's attracted to children. And on the, you know, three quarters of the way down that continuum are people who are attracted to adults mainly, but if something happens, they can, their attraction can get turned and they can start to become attracted to children. And those people, the thing that turns them can be a trauma in their history, often when they're children themselves, and that seems to turn them. But if you heal the trauma, it turns them back again and they become attracted to adults again.
Well, what if the reason they are prepared to have sex with a 14-year-old is because they can, and they're selfish and destructive, and there is no history of anything against them. They're just criminals, and they need treating like criminals.
And there are some people like that, but they're not the ones who are coming to stop, so to get help to stop. So, you know, again, it's a scale. There are some people who are going to do it whatever, and there are other people who have these desires and hate themselves for having the desire and who are thinking of committing suicide on a daily basis because they can't bear living with the desire.
Yes, but
they know they must never act it out.
I really want your treatments to work. I want anyone who seeks your treatment to find that they either no longer feel that way or know how to manage their feelings without harming a child. I absolutely want that to be the case. But if you replaced what you just said with the words homosexual instead of paedophile, or the words heterosexual instead of paedophile, we'd think it was one of those bogus, you know, courses that says I can make gay people straight or straight people gay.
But we're not saying we can cure paedophilia. So if someone is at the extreme end of it and has a complete attraction to children and no attraction to adults, they have to learn to live with that. And I was talking to someone this week, a female, who is absolutely desperate about her desire. She knows she's never going to act out. She never wants to act out, but she has to live with it. And she also has to live with the fact that society hates her for it. And she's 21, so she's young.
And what's her attraction?
To young children, to 8 to 10-year-old children.
Boys or girls, or both?
Girls. And
does she know why?
No, she has no idea why. So I would say that she's one of those ones that's born like that.
Is she disturbed in any other way?
No. She's a lovely woman. She's a lovely woman. And with a normal history without any trauma in it. And is desperate to make sure that she never, ever, ever acts on her desires. We did an online questionnaire at StopSo, and the questionnaire said, at what age did you first know you had a problem with your thinking or your sexual behaviour? And it was for sex offenders to fill in. And 51% know by the time they're 16 years old. 51% know by the time they're 16 years old.
In relation to children specifically?
In relation to a problem with their sexual... Hang on. A problem with their sexual thinking or behaviour. So they had something that they were attracted to that was inappropriate. So the vast majority of those will have been children, because 60% of people coming to us, an issue around children.
You know that you're climbing a very steep hill when it comes to convincing people that treatment is... Or I imagine you're climbing a very steep hill when it comes to convincing people that treatment is the way we should go in many more cases than we do. But when you have the Police Chiefs Council... lead on child protection essentially saying the same, that tells us things are changing, does it not?
Well, it tells us that actually this the way the general public see this issue is they think paedophile, they think child molester, they think sex offender, and they think horrendous. And of course I completely understand that, but actually at the end of the day these are people, and they're people who need help. And we need to be funding organisations like STOPSO. STOPSO's desperate for money at the moment. We need to be funding organisations like STOPSO to enable us to be able to work with the people who are actually asking for help to stop, and actually saying, I wish I didn't have this desire, and actually really keen to be able to never, ever, ever harm a child or an adult. Because we work with rapists as well, and voyeurs and exhibitionists. And I think the fact that Simon Bailey is saying it, and I worked out the statistics, according to the police recorded sexual offences statistics that have just been published, 756 people a day are reporting a sexual offence. And according to the Crime Survey of England and Wales in 2016, 2% of the population don't, you know, have been affected and don't report. And on the police statistics, it's 0.2% of the population. Okay. So what that means is that actually 7,560 people a day are probably suffering sexual abuse.
All right, Juliet Grayson, thank you very much indeed for taking the time to talk to us. Chair of STOPSO, Specialist Treatment Organisation for the Prevention of Sexual Offending. If you feel that you need help with these issues and wish to seek help, you can find them at stopso.org.uk, and the number is 07473 299 883. I'll give that number and those details out again before two if you weren't able to get them down at that point. Your calls in a moment, 0345 6060 973. Treatment instead of prison.